He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from Pastor John Twitchell at the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
Would you join me in prayer this morning? Grant to us, Lord, we pray, the Spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we who cannot exist without you may be enabled to live according to your will through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, both now and forever. Amen. So our Ephesians passage today, taken from chapter 4 in the beginning of verse 5, I don't know if Paul intended it to be as funny as I think it is, but as I was reading it this week and as I was reflecting on it, every time I read it, I laughed a little bit. Because he talks about, okay, put away falsehoods and let's speak the truth. Okay. Be angry, but don't be so angry that you sin. Okay. You know, don't steal, don't be a thief. All right, easy enough. And then it goes from all these things that, I mean, I think most of us on a daily basis are kind of like, okay, let's not lie, let's not steal, let's not get so angry. Easy enough. And then Paul jumps to don't grieve the Holy Spirit. All right, well, that one got kind of weird. And then he goes even further, now imitate God. And at least as I was reading it, I laughed at that because it seems like a pretty steep progression from don't steal and don't lie to, okay, now go be like God. All right, that's kind of a learning curve there, Paul. But all right, let's see what we can do about that. And so Paul tells us in the beginning of chapter 5, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ has loved us, and as Christ gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Like, okay, be imitators of God. And so that's what I want to look at today, and that's what I want to spend some time talking about. What does it mean for us to be imitators of God, and what does it look like for us to be imitators? And so throughout school, I was normally pretty good at math, except for Algebra 2 for some reason. I was never good at that one. Everything else I tended to be okay in. And so I think I've got this math right, if we can do a bit of a word problem here. Paul tells us, be like God, be an imitator of God. And so if Jesus is God and we are to be like God, I think the math equals be like Jesus. If Jesus is God and we are to be like God, we are to be like Jesus. I think that works out. And so when Paul tells us to be imitators of God, I think really what he's saying is be like Christ. Because Jesus reveals to us what God is like. One of my favorite authors, Brian Zond, and also N.T. Wright, another one of my favorite authors, they often say this thing when they're like, if you want to know what God looks like, if you want to know what God is like, who God is, look at Jesus. That is what God is like. When you wonder, well, what is God thinking in this situation? Well, look to what Jesus thought in similar situations, and you can get the idea of what God is like. And so be like Christ. Be an imitator of God. And Paul's not the only one to tell us this. We also see it in the Gospels. It's Matthew, I believe, where he says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And then I believe it's in Luke, he changes it slightly and says, be merciful as your Father is merciful. And then you have 1 Peter, be holy as the Lord your God is holy, quoting back from Leviticus. So there's this idea that we as people are supposed to be like God. You know, and if we're good Wesleyans, we believe that we can be, that we can live lives, that we start to put away the sin and we no longer want to sin, but we rather want to live in accordance to God's will and to live in God. Or as the name of our series has mentioned, in Christ. To live in Christ, to be in Christ, and to do things through Christ. And so I think Scripture gives us plenty of sources to say that we can do this, that we are supposed to do this, that we are to be holy as God is holy, and to be perfect as God is perfect, and to be imitators of God, which is some pretty heavy stuff. Like, I don't know about you, but normally if somebody goes out and says, I'm like God, my first thought is, well, no, you're not. You might be crazy. I've worked with people like you in the psych hospital. But it's not like that. It's not just something we claim. It's not just something we say, I am an imitator of God, or I am holy as God is holy. But instead, we live lives like Jesus that enables us, through his grace, to be imitators of God and to be holy like he is holy. And so I think in this chapter, I think Paul gives us, or in chapter 4, right before he tells us to be imitators of God, I think he gives us some examples of how to do that. I think he tells us a few ways of how to be holy like God is holy and how to live a life like Christ had lived. So then, putting away all falsehood, let us speak truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. I don't know about you all, but I could preach an entire sermon just on that section for today's world. I don't know how many of you are on Facebook, but man, I wish that was Facebook's like motto. Put away all falsehood, because then most of Facebook would no longer be online. You know, to use a popular hashtag, put away fake news. And that falls on everybody and everybody's side. There's so many things going about that are just to make somebody else look bad, whether you are on this side or you are on this side or you like this or you like that. So many people are putting out fake news. And I think Paul would say, well, that's not very Christ-like. Your Facebook page is not doing the kingdom any good right now. Man, Paul, that one kind of hit me hard because I had to go back and look through my Facebook and say, okay, have I posted anything that's more of my opinion that devalues somebody rather than letting truth be spoken to my neighbors to help build them up, remembering that even that person that I disagree with, he and I are part of the same body. That Facebook user that I cannot stand and that I like to argue with, that he too or she too is a part of the body and that we are members of one another. And so I think that's one way that Paul is telling us to be like Christ. Put away falsehood. Speak truth. Speak honesty. And I think in our world today, especially in America, that's one thing that we could use a lot of. One of my favorite saints, Saint Benedict, had this to say: there is nothing better to display the truth in an excellent light than a clear and simple statement of facts. I was talking with our DS, Dr. Steve Dillman, yesterday. I was at his house for a get-together, and we had started talking about how it's so hard to watch the news today because nobody just gives you the facts. It's the opinions of the facts, and it's this about the facts, and it's like, no, just tell me just the facts, ma'am. Just the bare basics. Flannery O'Connor says this: the truth does not change according to our ability to stomach it. Oh, man. I don't like that, so it's not true. Well, no, I just don't like it. So I think that's one way that Paul is encouraging us to be imitators of Christ. Speak the truth, even if not everybody likes the truth. Even if we don't like the truth, speak truth. Put away falsehood. Try to see what really is happening. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. I think that's fairly easy enough for most of us to understand. I don't know how easy it is to live out. I heard a quote, I was listening to it. This will show you how much of a nerd I am. I found a podcast called Pints with Aquinas, which is just a podcast about this guy that goes through the Summa Theologica, which is a book about this big. And it just is super nerdy. But in it, he talked about one of the things that that one of his mentors said to him was, you know, when you're married, don't fight in front of people. Whoever is calmer, say, hey, let's talk about this later. And then later that night, when you're away from the kids or away from the party, to take time to talk about it and come to at least somewhat of an agreement so that you can go to bed not angry and wake up. And if you need to finish it out, to continue it. And so I thought that was good advice from Paul. Be angry, but don't be so angry that you go off and sin. Which I wonder, again, how it's a simple thing, but I don't know how easy that is. But I think that's something that we're being called to, especially going with putting away the falsehoods, how easy it is to get angry at somebody that disagrees with me, how easy it is to think that person's an absolute moron on Facebook or so many other places. This is the one that I really don't like because the church has challenged me on it. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands as to have something to share with the needy. Now, for the most part, I thought, yeah, that's pretty easy. I don't steal. I'm not a thief. That's easy enough. But as I've thought about this and as I've prayed about it and as I've researched and studied and looked through it, I've realized I should probably make a confession that I am indeed a thief. That at least according to the church, I have not been faithful in this regards. You see, St. Ambrose said that if you have two shirts in your closet, one belongs to you and the other belongs with the person with no shirt. As I'm packing up and getting ready to move, it's kind of embarrassing how many clothes are just on the floor in my closet because I tried to clean up one day and they just sat there. I don't wear any of them. I don't use any of them. And this is what St. Basil the Great had to say that really struck me with this. When someone steals another's clothes, we call them a thief. Should we not give the same name to one who could clothe the naked and does not? The bread in your cupboard belongs to the hungry. The coat unused in your closet belongs to the one who needs it. The shoes rotting in your closet belong to the one that has no shoes. The money which you hoard belongs to the poor. Ah, oh, man, St. Basil, you know how many clothes I have in my closet right now that I've not worn in at least a year? And according to the church, I am stealing from those that need them. So that's something that I think Paul is telling us. If you want to be an imitator of Christ, do what Christ would do. Do what his church has called us to do. To not take more than we need. To give to those that do need. To not hoard up my goods when there are so many others that could use them. Speak words that build up. Let no evil talk comes out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Man, I don't know about you, but how many times have I used words against people that were not filled with grace? How many times have the things I've said not built up my neighbor or the person I'm talking to, but rather have said things with the purpose of tearing them down? Hebrews 3 says this, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. As I think about this in light of Ephesians and what Paul's saying, I think it's true that life looks better when we are positive and when we build each other up. If I'm constantly tearing people down, it's easy to see the negativeness and the darkness in the world. It's easy to be hardened by sin when all I ever say is tearing others down rather than building them up. And the rest, again, I think it sums itself up. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not go against God. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted and forgiving. I think those words kind of speak for themselves. Be tender-hearted, be compassionate, be loving. Put away malice, put away vindictiveness against others. Put away unrighteous anger. Forgive one another. Because that is what we're to do. Forgiveness, man, it changes everything. And that if we do these things, we will then be imitators of God. We will look like Christ. We will do what Christ has done. And so as I thought about this, I kept thinking, okay, we're calling this sermon Imitators of God. Who is a good imitator of God? Who imitated Christ well? Who did something that I think Christ would have done? And then when I was driving over to Dr. Dillman's house yesterday, you all can judge me for this. This is fine. I was listening to a Disney playlist because I love Disney music. Man, Hercules, Tarzan, my jam. And so one of the songs that came on was from The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And it's the song by Esmeralda as she runs into the church and she prays. And I kept thinking as I was listening to it that I was like, man, I could imagine Christ praying this prayer. From the song, God Help the Outcast, she says, I don't know if you can hear me, or if you're even there. I don't know if you would listen to a gypsy's prayer. Yes, I know I'm just an outcast. I shouldn't speak to you. Still, I see your face and wonder, were you an outcast too? God help the outcast, hungry from birth. Show them the mercy they don't find on earth. God help my people. We look to you still. God help the outcast. Or nobody will. I really think that I can see Jesus praying that prayer. God help the outcast. And then they transition to the church people and what they're praying. I ask for wealth. I ask for fame. I ask for glory to shine on my name. I ask for love I can possess. I ask for God and his angels to bless me. Man, talk about missing the point. The outcast was able to imitate a prayer of God, while those who were supposed to get it completely missed it. Again, Esmeralda sings, I ask for nothing. I can get by, but I know so many less lucky than I. Please help my people, the poor and downtrod. I thought we were all the children of God. God help the outcast, children of God. And so I wonder, what are our prayers like? Are our prayers like Esmeralda's, or are they like the church people's? Because I think Esmeralda sounds a lot like a prayer that Christ would offer up. As Christ sits on the right hand of God the Father, God help the outcast. God, be with my people. Be with those that are hungry from birth and show them mercy. God, help the outcast. And so if you want to be like God, if you want to imitate God, if you want to be like Christ, I think you have to help the outcast. The clothes in your closet cannot be your own, but rather those who need them. You must love and value the outcast. Those that so often our society would rather toss aside. There was a story that I heard the other day. You all know, at least if you've seen me on Facebook, I like to talk about the saints of the day. Every day of the year, the church has honored a certain saint or a certain person in church history that we can learn from and that we can get a glimpse of what the kingdom looks like through them. And so on the 10th was the feast of St. Lawrence of Rome. He was a deacon in the church. And the prefect of Rome, one of the politicians in Rome, had seized him and he said, "Lawrence, you're a deacon of the church. I demand that you bring me the treasures of the church for Rome. Your treasures you must bring to us. We are taking it over. We are taking your treasures." And so St. Lawrence said, "Okay, fine, give me 2 days to go and gather up our treasure. And I will bring you the treasure and I will present it before you." And so the prefect said, "Fine, you have 2 days." And so Lawrence goes all around Rome and he gathers and collects the treasures of the church. And he comes back before the prefect of Rome and he says, "Here's the treasure of the church." To which the prefect looked at him and goes, "What are you talking about? You see, Lawrence had brought him beggars and those that are hungry, and those that were poor." And Lauren said, "The poor are the treasure of the church. These are our treasures." The prefect didn't like that, and the prefect had Lauren killed because of it. But man, is that what we say today? When we're driving and we're about to get on 95 and we see the guy with the sign saying, "Hungry, please help." Is that the person we say that's the treasure of the church? Is that what the church loves? So how does God help the outcast? I think you all know the answer to this. God helps the outcast through us, through you and I. We are to be used as tools in the hands of God to help the outcast, to be imitators of God, because is that not what God does, is taking the outcast? That God takes those of us that are so messed up and says, "You're the one that I'm going to use." I mean, I think about it all the time. Like, look at Scripture. How much of it comes from the perspective of murderers? You know, you got Moses out there who killed a man, ran away, and God says, "You're going to lead my people." You got King David, who, man, if you read about King David, King David's kind of an awful person. Like, he has a lot of jacked up stuff. We've been going through 2 Samuel recently as our Old Testament readings. And man, he's not painted in the good light. There's a lot of the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Passages in there. And you got Paul, who wrote this. Be imitators of God. Man, you want to talk about the enemy of the church for a while? There was enemy number one. And yet God has used these and done something terrific through them. God helped the outcast. So live in love. That's what the end of this passage says. Live in love as Christ has loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So live your lives in love. And just as Christ gave himself up for us, there's a good chance we're going to have to give up our lives on behalf of others. And now this doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be martyred. You might not be like St. Lawrence. They might not throw you over the fire. But we are to give up our lives for the sake of others, that it's not about what we want, but it's about loving our neighbors. And how do we build up our neighbors? How do we show compassion for the least of these? How do I give up my life by saying these clothes in my closet are not my own, but they belong to the poor who needs them more? These 3 pair of shoes, when I only need one, do not belong to me. Your life is a life lived in the love of God and for love of neighbor. That's when we're imitators of God. When we're giving glory to God and when we are picking up our neighbors when we are growing deeper in love for God and when we're growing deeper in love for those around us. I think that's how we imitate God. Would you pray with me this morning? God, Paul gives us some pretty simple and straightforward details. If you want to imitate God, in your anger, do not sin. It's fine to be angry, but do not dwell in that anger. If you want to be like God, don't spread falseness and falsehood, but rather in your words, build up and be truthful. If you want to be like God, do not be a thief. Do not take what is not yours, but rather give freely to any and all who needs, as that's what you have done for us, Lord. You have given us freely of yourself. Lord, that if we want to be imitators of God, we have to love the least of these. That if we want to be imitators of God, we have to be like your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave of himself, who valued the poor, who valued those that had nothing, those who, according to society standards, should have been tossed aside. What good can come out of Nazareth? Oh God, we know that a whole lot of good can come out of there. Lord, that those that the world despises, those are our treasures. The poor and downcast, the addicted, the angry, the abused, those that just don't have a clue what's going on, those are our treasures. Those are the ones that we are called to love. Those are the ones that show us who you are. God, would you help us as your people to not cast them aside? But Lord, would you help us to see our neighbors? Would you help us to see those who are around us? Not merely as just somebody that lives across the street, but rather as a person who is loved by you and that we are called to journey alongside of. Lord, would you help us to know our neighbors? That in knowing our neighbors, we get to know you better. Lord, help us to be imitators of you. Lord, help us to be holy as you are holy by loving the least of these. Help us to be perfect as you are perfect by walking in the ways that your Son, Jesus Christ, has taught us to walk. And Lord, as St. Luke tells us, help us to be merciful as you are merciful. Because God, I really think that's how we become holy. I think that's how we become perfect, is by being merciful and extending grace as you have been merciful and as you have extended grace. Lord, we ask these things in your name. Amen.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you as you serve him this week.